Good morning, boys and girls. I'll just have to pretend that I heard you all replying, good morning, but we'll get you to catch up with it all when next we are able to stand before you. As it is, because of an outbreak of COVID among some of our pupils, and that in turn causing some of our teachers to isolate, we're doing this by the internet. I hope that, nevertheless, you will listen carefully to what the Bible has to say. We're coming now to part 13 of our ongoing study, which I have entitled Some of My Favourite Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 2 presently, and I have entitled the study in Psalm 2 An Age-Old Battle and Its Outcome. We're at verses 7 to 9. I'll read them to you just to remind you of what it is they say. And of course, make sure you have a Bible there with you as you're listening at home. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. We have already begun a study of these verses, and we're considering the Saviour's wonderful sovereignty that is here bestowed upon him by the Father. Great authority is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have looked at the basis of his authority and sovereignty, and of course it's found there in the opening words of verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me. The Lord Jesus has power as Redeemer, as Saviour, as a result of the Father bestowing this upon him, placing it upon him. So we've looked at that, the basis of Christ's sovereignty. And now we come a little further and consider what it says in these verses concerning the boundaries of Christ's kingdom. The boundaries, the borders of Christ's kingdom. In verse 8, the Father, as it were, maps out the boundaries and the borders of the Saviour's kingdom. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The whole world is going to be under Christ's rule when he returns. There's no place that has been left out, as it were, no country that's not mapped in to the Saviour's kingdom. Much of the world today utterly rejects Christ's authority and rule and refuses to obey his word. In fact, there are many areas in the world where once there was a great degree of obedience to the Lord Jesus and an acceptance of his rule. But today, in those very areas, there has been an overthrowing of his rule and word. Here in Ulster, we see it happening. You young ones may not recognize it, but those of us who are older, we can look back to a time when there were many, many more Christians in Ulster, and there were fewer who were prepared to reject the Bible and blaspheme God in comparison to the number ready to do that today. And likewise, we could look at England, we could look at Wales, we could look at Scotland, we could look at America, and many other areas, and this would also be true. So, there is less of the world today listening and heeding and obeying Christ than there was 100 years ago. But when the Lord Jesus comes again, all nations will come in under his authority and will feel his power. Listen to heaven's announcement of that great event. We're reading from Revelation chapter 11, a very well-known verse, and I love it. Listen to what it says. And the seventh angel sounded. That's the last trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. I've mentioned how that there are areas in the world that have now turned from obedience to rebelling against the Lord Jesus, but that will not take place after the Saviour's return, for he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, happy day when the seventh trumpet is sounded. That is the moment Paul speaks of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There we have that mention of the trumpet again. And the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And what comfort there is to be found, boys and girls, in these words. Let me state something else that is important for us to know regarding this matter. We are told the territory, and that territory of Christ's kingdom has been set out many times in the past, in the prophecies dealing with that time. Listen to what we read way back in the days of Abraham. That is Genesis chapter 12 in the verse 3. The Lord said to Abraham, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The whole earth has been touched to some measure by Christ, who came of Abraham through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But when he comes to reign to a much greater degree, his mercy and goodness will be experienced by all peoples and tongues and languages. What I'm saying is that today, yes, many people have been touched by the word of Christ, but when he comes again, to a very much greater degree, the nations of the earth will be blessed by his word. Again, consider some more words spoken of this matter. It's also found in Genesis. It's the chapter 18 and the verse 18. And there is this discussion, as it were, in heaven, between the wonderful persons of the Trinity. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So there again we see that through Abraham there was going to come blessings to the earth, and of course those blessings were channeled through the offspring of Abraham, who was the Lord Jesus. And in a wonderful, wonderful way, this earth is going to see a mighty blessing when Jesus comes again. The prophet Isaiah pictured for us the wonderful happenings on the earth when the Saviour returns. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 2. I've read these verses so often to you and also to congregations because they're so precious. Listen to them. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, fixed in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, all nations. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. He'll not take with defiance or with rebellion. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah chapter 2, the verses 2 to 4. That's what's going to take place when Jesus returns. Now, something else we may learn from these three verses we're looking at, the claiming of the universal kingdom by the Lord Jesus will be seen and manifested in the conversion of sinners from all nations. That is, we'll know when the kingdom has come, for one of the fruits of the Savior taking over the world is that there will be conversions wrought in a manner and to a degree we have never known before in the history of the world. Many men have taken over parts of this earth, conquered their neighboring nations, but this they did by the sword and by slaughter. At this time, Russia stands ready to use the sword, as it were, or the more modern weapons of war, to conquer Ukraine. Indeed, by the time you hear this recording, the slaughter in Ukraine may have begun. May the Lord pity that little nation facing, as it is, the cruel Russian hordes. Hear what Jeremiah foretold of that wonderful time of Christ's reign. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations, note that phrase, shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Here we have men being turned from sin and rebellion to walk in the ways of God. This conversion is on a scale that has never been seen or witnessed before. That time, as I say, is the millennial reign of Christ. The 1,000 years, that's what the word millennial means. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. And it is then that all nations will submit to him and be ruled over by him. Listen again to Isaiah the prophet, and it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, there again the mention of the trumpet, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. Here are two of the greatest enemies of God, who throughout their histories opposed, rejected God's truth. Yet it would appear from these words that there will be those from those territories coming submissively to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Third thing I want you to notice is the secret behind the success of Christ. It's prayer. See what it says there? Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 8. Christ is going to gain this great conquest by prayer. So Christ prayed, and it's recorded for us in John's Gospel, chapter 17, and I'll read passages from that prayer. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, that's John chapter 17, and I've been reading from verse 9, verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and verses 20 to 24. You know, boys and girls, Christ is even now acting upon the promise of his Father. Ask of me, his Father said. And that's what the Savior is doing at this very moment. Hebrews chapter 7, the verse 25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. His prayers will be fully and wonderfully answered in that day when, in response to his prayers, the Father shall give him the heathen for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. How that ought to spur us to join the Savior in prayer, and pray alongside him that those things promised to him may soon come to pass. Well, the Lord bless you. Do keep well, and I trust that soon we'll be together again in the school, gathered around the Word of God. God bless you, and goodbye.